Every revolution starts in the minds of the people. Arm yourself for the war of ideas. Take back your life. Take back your liberty. Tom Mullen talks freedom.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Tom Mullen Talks Freedom. Today, I have as my guest the chair of the Libertarian Party, the National Party, Angela McArdle, and she's got a lot of big news to share with us about the convention and where the party is going. She's been a guest before, and I'll, of course, link to her previous appearance. But Angela, very excited to have you here. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, we hooked up. I'm in Western New York, and you speak Central Time. And I seem to, before we get to what's going on with the party and the convention, I seem to remember you were a resident of California at one time.
Yes.
Are you now in Texas, and how long have you been there, and what prompted that move?
Yes, we are in Austin, Texas. I've been here now a little over a year and a half, and we decided to move when I found out I was pregnant. We just said, you know, okay, you know, we've done a good job here in California. We've done a lot of libertarian activism. Mandates are gone now. We've done our good work, but not quite ready to raise a child out here with all the crazy threats. So we're packing it up and we're moving.
No kidding. And what part of Texas are you in now?
We're in Austin, Texas. So the compromise, because I was not really excited about leaving, because I'd lived in California for so long, even though I grew up in Texas. The compromise was to move to Austin, because we're in a blue city in a red state. So it's like you get the best of both worlds.
Sure, sure. You know, and I just always considered you a California kid. I didn't know you originally from Texas. That's mm-hmm. interesting. And I also, how old is your child now?
He's about a year and a half old.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Cause I think you may have, I don't know if the last time you were on, if you had just been born or if it was, we were expecting or what, but congratulations on that. I'm glad you're raising him in Texas. I wish all three of you the best. Maybe there's more on the way. Hopefully there is. Cause God knows we're outnumbered. But getting more to the Libertarian Party and the convention, I don't know, for anybody that listens to this podcast who doesn't already know what's going on with the speaker list, why don't you break the news?
Well, we started planning our convention 2 years ago, and I started lining up Libertarian speakers. We've got Robert Breedlove. We've got Dr. Peter McCullough, Lou Perez, Dave Smith, Spike Cohen, and then I got a very interesting request from the Trump campaign. Could Donald Trump speak at our convention? And I thought, that's going to be a giant controversy. And we went back and forth a little bit, and I decided, you know what? Screw it. Yes, we're going to make this happen. He is coming specifically to address our libertarian grievances and issues and speak to us on the things that we care about.
That's so interesting. I had no idea that they reached out to you. I think you mentioned on Twitter that you kind of threw out an invitation to both campaigns,
yes,
Biden, Trump, and probably some of the other parties. How was that invitation made to them? Was it just a public announcement on social media, or did you send a message to the campaign manager?
It was a challenge on social media that was picked up right away.
And when you say that he's coming to specifically address concerns, how will Donald Trump know what they are? Or are we just going to hear what he thinks they might be?
Oh, no. So we have on our convention website, which is lnc2024.com, a poll where libertarians are voting on what their top 10 grievances are. You know, is it didn't fire Fauci? Is it inflation? Our typical passion projects in the Fed. We want you to end the Fed. Lower taxes, eliminate the federal income tax. So people are voting for some options that we already put up. They're adding their own as well. And that's what we've been sharing with his campaign, and they're actually watching it. They have a login and they can check it and see what's going on.
Do you get an idea, as much as I'm excited about the party, since you've been the chair and the Mises Caucus has had more influence? I wasn't real happy with the party in the decade before that. But let's face it, we're, maybe a couple of million people nationwide. Why does Donald Trump's campaign care about us?
Oh, we're the most powerful voting bloc in the country right now. From his perspective, and I'm sure the Biden administration thinks this way too, but they may be taking a different approach. I did invite them. They need our votes to win, not just the delegates. Like, they understand the delegates at the convention are not going to vote for them. It's very, very low probability of persuading people who've spent thousands of dollars and 2 years to work to get to a national convention to all of a sudden flop and vote for you. But for the larger libertarian base, for voters who are on the fence, for voters who maybe voted for Trump previously, but they're like, I don't know if I want to vote for that guy again, he needs to reach them. And from his perspective, the best way to do that is to signal to that base what they want to hear and speak to their concerns. So that's what he's doing. And I think it's very smart. And what we've done essentially is we have forced the Overton window to move in our direction because you now have a former president and major contender for the presidential election coming to speak to us and speak specifically to our concerns. It's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be pushing everything in the direction of freedom.
Yeah, and you mentioned the controversy, and I have a good idea what it is. I mean, to me, there's no downside to this either. We're all going to be hearing Trump or Biden making speeches for the next 4 years after this, and they might as well come and at least out of their mouths, repeat some of our grievances, even if they can't answer them very well, or even if they don't live up to the answers they give us. But what are some of the criticisms you're getting for having agreed to this?
It's a plot, it's a plot to make him our nominee, which is
Oh.
just literally impossible. It's a legal issue in a lot of states. It would require him being a registered libertarian. It's a bylaws violation. There's like 50 state affiliates that would flip out and not sign him with their secretary of state. So it's not possible that we're turning it into a MAGA rally, which is also not true because the venue only holds 2,000 people. And the delegates and the alternates are at least 1,400 of them. And I've given all the delegates and libertarian attendees priority seating. What else? You're making it about him instead of our candidates. Well, that's not true. Donald Trump has a platform, right? People are like, we're platforming him. No, he has a platform.
Yeah.
Media attention has come to us because he has decided to platform us. That we are getting his attention. It doesn't work the other way. And I feel for people who are just like having like an emotional reaction to this. A lot of people on the left I've spoken to, when I ask them what upsets them the most about Donald Trump, just like, give me your Rorschach, knee-jerk reaction. They're like, he reminds me of my dad. I'm like, yeah. So, there's a lot to unpack there, but like, none of that is going to hurt us. We need this media. Libertarianism is trending in the news lately. All eyes are on us. People were not excited about this convention like they are now. Now people are actually looking at it and they want to know who your candidates are. How does this work? What are you doing at this convention? Oh, you're nominating your presidential candidate. They didn't even know. No one knew. No one cared. All of a sudden now they care. And so it's an incredible opportunity for us.
Let me ask you something. What if there was someone out there who kept a log of every single thing you did every minute of the day? That would probably creep you out. Well, that's exactly what happens every time you go online. Your internet provider stores logs of every website you've ever visited and can legally sell this data to anyone. Worse yet, the government can obtain your data via bulk FISA order, even if you're not personally suspected of any crime. That's why I use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers so your internet provider can't see or log what you do online. Visit expressvpn.com/Mullen right now and find out how you can get 3 months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Mullen. Protect your data and get 3 months for free today.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And I guess I have a little sympathy when I think back that when I first discovered the Libertarian Party in the early 2000s, I was a little bit late for Harry Brown. And then the first candidate that I got to vote for was Michael Bodnarik. And he was just an awesome, you know, nobody knew who he was. He didn't have a lot of recognition, but I mean, he was a great speaker. He was just 100% pure. And I thought, well, this is great. You know, we might not win, but I've got somebody I can vote for. And then the next one was Bob Barr. And I thought, what is going on here?
Yeah.
You know? And so maybe I could see that some people in the party might start to think, oh, we got a Republican coming. And then we had, you know, I guess, I mean, the idea that anyone could believe that Trump would end up the nominee, I guess that's self-correcting because obviously he's not going to.
Right.
And then they'll know that was not the.
I hope people will, you know, calm down. What I really genuinely hope is that when people show up to our national convention and they see the intense media presence and all of the incredible opportunities that it presents for our candidates, they're going to calm down a little bit and they're going to recognize the gravity of this moment. This is going to be the most significant Libertarian Party convention that's ever happened in the history of the party. It's huge. It's huge. And to his credit or his campaign's credit, the Trump campaign is taking this deadly serious. They're in regular communication with me. They ask me about topics. Like they're paying very much. They have laser focus on our voting block, our demographic. And they're like, we need to know what's important to you.
Yeah.
I've told them, you're not going to get the nomination. You're not going to get an endorsement. Some people are probably going to boot you. And they're like, we don't care. We need to be there.
That's incredible. That's very encouraging to me, to be honest with you. And I guess what is going through my mind is that perhaps also they realize that although it's a minority in their party, in their own party, there are people not quite as good as like a Thomas Massie or a Rand Paul, but there are people who lean pretty heavily libertarian. They might not be perfect. And perhaps by doing this, they can bolster those people as well. I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing.
Well, Vivek Ramaswamy is attending as well. He is going to be debating our vice presidential candidate. I feel like this is the news that it's even more significant than the Trump announcement, right? Because Vivek was the attack dog in the GOP primary debates. Like no one could match his fire. He was the best one on stage. It's possible that he could be in the consideration for the vice presidency. And he's going to come debate our VP candidate. That's huge. We've never been on the debate stage and in 53 years. And I've brought the debate stage to us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good for you. I heard something about RFK Jr. too.
Yep.
Is that still in the works? Is he going to be there? That's confirmed.
He's coming on Friday. He's not going to be debating our candidates, but we're going to have a Q&A with him. He also is very hard pressed to get libertarian and independent voter support. And he recognizes the significance of our convention. So he'll be speaking on Friday. Thomas Massie has decided to drop by as well. So he's not going to be speaking, but he's going to be doing a roaming meet and greet and might hang out with us at an after party. It's amazing. People really want to be here. I invited Jill Stein and Cornel West. It's not just about, you know, pandering to Republicans. Heaven forbid, you know, we talk to the people who are reasonable enough to listen to us. But Jill Stein is unfortunately collecting signatures for ballot access in New York. She definitely would have made time if I'd set up an actual debate. And believe me, I tried, but it hasn't happened yet. And then Cornel West had some event that he had to already attend in California.
And so the order of the speakers, if Vivek is going to debate the VP candidate, that would be after the nomination. And when
That's
I was
the
at.
only one that's a little bit off. We're doing that Friday,
Okay.
so before the nomination. So basically, the vice presidential candidates are having their debate, and then we are polling our delegates and the people who are in the room right there based on the debate performance. You know, who do you want to see go and debate Vivek Ramaswamy? Who did the best? And it's very likely that that person will be our vice presidential nominee.
Okay, and then so that they'll debate him, and then but the nomination will still happen on Sunday, I guess.
It'll happen Saturday or Sunday. There's a big push right now to move the nomination up to Saturday so that we can have our presidential candidate do a press conference right before Donald Trump speaks.
Right, and then I would assume then that the libertarian candidate will speak last. Or answer the maybe the Trump campaign to address the grievances from the libertarian perspective or no?
We will handle that very diplomatically in a way that will not make the Trump campaign livid. And that's all I will say about that because they've been very gracious to us, but there will be an opportunity for our candidates the same night. And we
Okay.
are technically getting them on the same stage, just not at the same time.
I gotcha. Yeah, and right, you don't want to have this person come and then get ambushed,
Right.
or
Because, I
whatever. Yeah.
mean, it's like, keep in mind, they have a lot of financial power. We don't want to make them so angry that they come after us really aggressively, because right now they're coming after us in a different way, you know, in a polite way. So,
Understood. I guess the other thing, circling back to the original discussion about concerns Libertarian Party members might have, do you think that the fact that the campaign is even interested shows that the Libertarian Party has become more conservative while still remaining libertarian, but with a more conservative bent, or is it just not as left leaning, or has none of that really been in play in the past? What's your
I mean,
take
there's
on
a
that?
lot of speculation. It's that we've become friendlier to people who are socially conservative. So libertarianism doesn't really weigh in on your social norms, your behaviors, you know, most of that, with the exception of things that we think are like violent, you know, or, you know, child abuse, most of that we just kind of stay out of. But the party historically has skewed to the left significantly when it comes to social commentary. Lifestyle, you know, messaging, all that stuff, it skews to the left. And we have said, actually, why don't we make it also friendly to, I don't know, homeschool families, people in the Midwest and on farms who care about raw milk, you know, medical freedom, those sort of things, things that people who are generally more socially conservative are associated with. And, you know, that could be a factor. But I think really what it is they're taking us seriously. Whereas before, maybe they didn't for a number of reasons, right? And it really remains to be seen. Like, there's not really good data on who we pull from. Do we pull from Democrats more or Republicans more? The trend seems to be that whatever the state is dominant in, that sort of has a that plays a role in whether we pull from a Republican or a Democrat. Like, it changes state by state.
And so, like in a blue state, do we pull more from the Democrat or the Republican?
In a blue state, I think we tend to pull more from the Democrats.
Okay, all right. So we're appealing to the dominant party there.
Well,
I
because
just
the.
I remember that like the 2020 election, I was glad that Joe Jorgensen got nominated because at least she was a libertarian. Because God, let's be
Right.
honest, Gary
Right.
and Bill Weld were not. I would have preferred she wasn't saying the good libertarian things while wearing a mask. What are you going to do? But
Yep.
I remember getting the literature, and on the front page of the camp of the convention magazine, whatever it is you guys send out. The first, it was like sex workers and something else along those lines. And I thought, look, yeah, I think prostitution should be legal, like every libertarian whoever lived, but I don't think it should be on the front page. Nobody
Right.
cares about this. This is not going to draw people in with the concerns they have in 2020. And I guess I'm preaching to the choir on
this. You're correct.
But, certainly this year, hopefully we'll see.
Yeah, you won't see that.
Yeah.
And that's, it's an interesting issue because people are like, oh, well, you just hate the left. No, because the left doesn't lead with that either. They don't. The left does not lead with legalize heroin and pro-sex work stuff. That is not what anybody puts at the forefront of their messaging. It doesn't mean that you think, heroin should be illegal. Like Ron Paul got on the stage and when pressed on it, he did say that he wanted all drugs decriminalized. And then he also laughed it off and said, oh, come on now, you're telling me that this room full of conservatives, you'd all go out and shoot up heroin if it was, criminalized and everyone, kind of lightened up. But that's not the first thing on his campaign website. It's like, let's put out what you think people are going to get passionate about and what's going to fix the country. And decriminalizing prostitution is just one thing on a long list. It's not the top five issues of anyone.
All right. Well, I know you've got other nationally known figures to go after, so I'm not going to keep you too much longer, but why don't you bullet point? What are the major things that libertarian candidates or people will just generally hear out of speakers at the Libertarian Convention this year?
Who are the big speakers? We've got Dr. Peter McCullough, who was a very prominent voice for medical freedom during the COVID mandates. We've got Robert Breedlove, who is an expert on Bitcoin. We've got comic Dave Smith. We've got former vice presidential candidate Spike Cohen. We've got Mark Skousen, a famed economist and a promoter of Freedom Fest. We've got Valerie Durham, his daughter. We've got, who else have we got? We've got Gabriel Shipton, Julian Assange's brother. We've got Lou Perez, another libertarian comic, and we've got Alex Stein, a conservative and libertarian political satirist. We've got a lot of really incredible speakers and opportunities here. And the media blitz is just completely insane. We're overwhelmed with media requests.
Is there a way for people to watch any part of this or watch the speeches?
Yes.
Live?
Yes. So we're going to be live streaming on our socials, but also you can tune in on C-SPAN. You can tune in on C-SPAN. So our presidential nominations are likely to happen Sunday morning or Saturday afternoon. And the Vivek debate is happening Friday evening. That will be live streamed. The Kennedy talk is happening Friday afternoon. That will be live streamed. And then, of course, the Trump talk and the candidate press conference is Saturday evening.
So all that can be seen, everything you said is going to be live streamed can be seen on C-SPAN.
Yes.
And
you can
then
see it all on C-SPAN, and we'll be streaming to our YouTube channel and our social media.
Great, great. And of course, we'll link to the LP.org national website. Any other links that people should know about for either the Libertarian Party or the great Angela McArdle?
The convention website specifically is lnc2024.com. We would love last minute attendees. You can still grab certain types of tickets, and we appreciate your support.
All right, Angela. Well, I really appreciate you coming by, and I wish you the best of luck with this. And congratulations on everything you've accomplished so far. It's I would never have believed it if people told me about this 6 months ago.
Thank you so much.
All right, friends, that's going to do it for today. Just a few reminders to stop by TomMullenTalksFreedom.com/support and check out all the ways that you can support my efforts here, including joining my Patreon or my Substack. And if you haven't already, make sure that you go to itsthefedstupid.com to download a copy of my free ebook, It's the Fed Stupid. And as always, if you like the music you've heard here on Tom Mullen Talks Freedom, you can hear more at TomMullenSings.com. Thanks for listening.
The War of Ideas has only just begun. Arm yourself with the knowledge you need by heading to TomMullenTalksFreedom.com and subscribing to our email list. And remember, every revolution starts in the minds of the people.